physical form. I can't see anything when I look in the mirror. It's not like the ghosts in the movies with the flowy white gowns. I'm just nothing. I'm thoughts, feelings, but they're not really attached to anything tangible. It's weird, I guess, but it's all I know. I'm trying to think of more questions to ask, but it's hard when I'm full of this much adrenaline. I feel like we've cracked some code by communicating this way, or maybe we've broken some unspoken rule. I want to get excited about the idea of it all, but 25 years of disbelief is hard to just let go of. Layla, if this is some kind of prank, she shakes her head.
It isn't. I'm not Layla. I'm Willow.
The idea that Layla would go to these lengths to lie to me for no reason is somehow more unbelievable than Layla being possessed by a ghost. All I can do is believe this girl, or at least pretend to believe her, while I try to get more answers. How old are you?
I don't know. I don't even know that I have an age, if that makes sense. Like I said earlier, time isn't really a thing for me.
So you don't feel like there's an end to your life?
I just don't think about it. Not like humans do. When there's literally nothing I can do or look forward to, not even meals or naps, or the bigger things like aging and death, what importance is time?
She eats several more potato chips in silence. Then she grabs a soda from the fridge and sits back down in the chair while she drinks it. Every time she takes a sip or a bite of food, it's like she appreciates it with the feelings of a million taste buds. It makes me feel like I've taken everything I've ever tasted for granted. Does it feel different being in her body? She nods immediately.
Yes, it's really confusing. There are memories that don't belong to me, feelings that aren't mine. But that's the thing, when I'm not inside of her, I feel very little and I have no memories at all. So I kind of like being inside of her, even though it feels wrong, like I'm not supposed to do this.
You have her memories? She nods.
Yes, but I'm trying not to be intrusive.
Can you remember things that happened between me and Layla? She looks down at her can of soda. I see her cheeks flush a little with embarrassment, and it makes me wonder what memories caused that feeling in her.
You met her here.
I nod to let her know that memory is right. She smiles.
She loves you.
You can feel that?
Yes, she loves you a lot, but she's also worried.
About what?
That you don't love her as much as she loves you.
I can feel my face fall a little at that confession. I don't want Layla to feel that way. I don't want her to feel loved less than she is, or full of anxiety, or scared. Will she remember this conversation, you taking over her? She shakes her head.
No, she didn't remember the times I ate her food. She just thinks she's having memory issues.
Her eyes narrow.
Something bad happened to her. It affected her a lot.
Yeah, it did. A door opens upstairs and steals my attention. We both look at the entryway to the kitchen. Shit, I forgot Aspen and Chad were still here. Can you leave her body? That's probably her sister. Willow shakes her head. There's a new look of unease about her.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Layla will freak out if I leave her body right now. She'll be in the kitchen when she wakes up and will have no memory of getting down here.
Aspen appears in the doorway.
Thought I heard you two.
She walks over to Layla, to Willow, and grabs the bag of chips from her. Aspen takes a seat next to Willow.
Chad pissed the bed. I changed the sheets, but I'm pretty sure the mattress will need to be cleaned now.
She looks at Willow.
Your fault for showing him where the liquor was.
Willow looks at me wide-eyed, like she's scared to say anything to Aspen. I push my chair back. I'll take care of it tomorrow, no big deal. I look at Willow. You ready for bed, Layla? She nods and starts to stand up, but Aspen grabs her hand and pouts.
No, stay. I never get to see you anymore and I can't sleep.
Willow looks at me and then Aspen and then back to me. She reluctantly sits back down. I don't want to leave her down here alone, so I sit back down with her. Aspen looks relieved to have the company, but Willow looks afraid to speak, as if Aspen will immediately know that she isn't Layla right now.
Did y'all finish off the pizza?
Aspen asks. No, it's still in the fridge.
She walks to the refrigerator to grab the pizza, and Willow leans her elbows onto the table, gripping her forehead. She mouths, "What do I do?" I honestly don't know, and it's weird that she's asking me how to handle this, like I have any experience at all with these things. I try to sidetrack Willow with the only thing I know about her. She likes food. "Want some pizza?" She pauses for a beat, and then nods with the slightest grin.
"I do, actually. 2 more pieces, and another soda."
The entire next few minutes are surreal. I make Willow a plate, and then Aspen sits down next to her. Aspen has been talking nonstop while Willow mostly just eats. I keep Aspen talking, making up almost half of the conversation so Willow doesn't have to speak much. She's a little more relaxed than when Aspen first came down here. She's focusing mostly on the food in front of her. That lasts until Aspen says,
"Did you tell Leeds what happened while I was cooking the pizza?"
I look at Willow, and her eyes grow wide.
"Oh my God,"
Aspen says. She starts to laugh while waving her hand from Layla to me.
"Tell him, Layla, it was so funny."
I can see the fear in Willow's eyes, like we're about to be caught. I know Willow said she has access to Layla's memories, but I'm not sure how accurate they are. And if Willow wasn't in the kitchen while they were cooking pizza, she wouldn't have that memory.
"She already told me," I say.
I have no idea what Aspen is talking about, but I don't want to put Willow on the spot. I stand up. "We really need to get some sleep." Willow nods and pushes back from the table.
"Yeah, I'm exhausted and still have that damn headache."
She leans down and hugs Aspen.
"Good night. Thanks for coming."
Aspen throws a hand up in the air.
"Seriously? I've seen you twice since I got married."
I'm pulling Willow by the arm as we back out of the kitchen. "Why don't you guys stay longer tomorrow?" Aspen rolls her eyes.
"We can't. We're supposed to be in Colorado by tomorrow night, and Chad will make me drive most of it until his hangover wears off."
She waves toward the stairs.
"You two go to bed. I'll clean up my mess."
Willow doesn't waste any time. She says goodnight again and rushes up the stairs. I follow her, but when we're in the bedroom and I close the door, I have to lean against the door and exhale several times to settle my nerves. The entire last 15 minutes with Aspen had me on edge more than the fact that there's a ghost using my girlfriend's body.
"That was intense," she says, pacing the room. "I have to be more careful."
They leave in the morning, and then it's just me and Layla again. "You don't have to worry about anyone else." She pauses.
"You're staying?"
I nod. "Yes, we don't leave until next Wednesday."
"You aren't mad at me?"
"For what?" She waves a hand down the length of her body.
"For this, for using Layla."
"Should I be? I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for Willow, not mad at her. This goes beyond anything I can even begin to wrap my head around, so my reactions probably aren't at all adequate for what's actually happening here." "I'm not mad. I'd actually like to talk to you again if it doesn't affect Layla. I don't want her to find out about you yet. I'm not sure she'll understand it."
"Do you understand it?"
I shake my head. "Hell no. I feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow and laugh at how insane this dream was." Willow looks at the bed and then back at me.
"I can't slip out of her without her being asleep first. I don't want her to get scared."
I nod. "It's fine. I'll sit in the chair until you're asleep."
"You sure?"
"Yeah, but I do want to talk to you again. Maybe tomorrow night?" She nods but doesn't say anything else. She just crawls into the bed, pulls the covers over herself, and closes her eyes. I watch her for half an hour. And then, slowly, Layla's body relaxes. I saw nothing that would prove Willow is no longer inside her, but I can tell she isn't. She just changed, ever so slightly, and now Layla looks peacefully asleep. She looks like the same Layla I tucked into this same bed earlier tonight. I look around the room, knowing Willow can probably still see me, still hear me. I whisper, "Good night," and then I crawl into bed with Layla. I spend the next hour running question after question over in my mind, wondering if Layla will remember any of what happened. And what does this mean for Willow? What happens when Layla and I leave next week? She'll just be completely alone again? I fall asleep feeling more sympathy course through me than fear or guilt. The interview. It's been a lot longer than 20 minutes since I last left Layla upstairs. Layla lets me know this by yelling my name over and over and over. The man pauses the tape recorder. She sounds angry. I nod. I told her I'd bring her downstairs. She wants to meet you.
Layla does?
Yes, is that okay?
What was the reason you gave her for my being here?
I really haven't told her much at all yet. She knows something strange is going on with her behavior. I told her you might have answers.
The man nods. Bring her down, then.
I pour myself another sip of bourbon before going back upstairs to untie her. When I walk into the bedroom, she's trying to reach the knot on the rope, but can't. I made sure of that when I tied it, but I admire her tenacity. She hears the door shut, so she swings her head in my direction.
20 minutes? It's been an hour.
I'm sorry. I start to untie her hands and notice she's been attempting to pull out of the ropes to the point that her bandages have come undone. Her wrists look even worse now. I don't know what else I could use to restrain her that wouldn't hurt. I don't have any handcuffs, and I don't trust her enough to leave this house to go buy any. I need you to promise me you won't try anything stupid. I hid all the knives.
Did you hide the forks? Those hurt too.
I don't even respond to that comment. When she's untied, she says,
I have to pee first.
She goes to the bathroom, so I follow her and keep an eye on her. She's not as scared as she was earlier. She seems more angry now. Her movements are full of temper as she flips on the water to wash her hands.
So, who is this guy?
She asks, following me out of the bathroom.
I found him on the internet.
She pauses as I open the bedroom door.
You're kidding, right?
What am I supposed to do, Layla? Call the police and ask them to help?
You brought in an internet quack to solve this?
I put my hand on her lower back and guide her out of the bedroom.
I'm doing my best, grasping for straws now. It's all I can do.
She stomps down the stairs and I keep my hand on her back. Not because I'm fearful she'll fall, but because I'm worried she might try to run. I added a couple of deadbolts to the doors leading to outside, so she won't have time to open a door and escape. It's the only reason I'm allowing her to come downstairs in the first place. She walks into the kitchen and pauses at the sight of him. She looks from the man to me, back to the man.
You're a detective?
Sort of, he says. He reaches his hand out to shake hers. I'm Richard.
Randall,
I correct him. He looks down at his shirt.
Oh, yeah, Randall. Name's Randall.
This was a bad idea.
You don't even know your own name?
Layla asks.
It's Randall Richard, he says, covering up his lie.
Layla slowly turns her head to find me. She raises an eyebrow and then looks back at him.
You a doctor?
Somewhat.
Layla laughs half-heartedly.
Sort of a detective, somewhat of a doctor. You either are or you aren't.
I used to be a doctor. Now I'm a detective.
Of course,
Layla says flatly. The man sits back down at the table, motioning toward the chair opposite him. Layla says,
I'd rather stand.
She turns her attention back to me.
Did you do a background check on this guy before you brought him here?
I don't lie to her. I just shake my head. Layla laughs.
This is brilliant.
She walks toward the exit to the kitchen.
Just great.
She pauses and looks at me, and it's the first time she's ever looked at me with hatred in her eyes.
I'm leaving. And if you try to stop me this time, I will scream until someone hears me or until I die. I don't really care which comes first.
I'm not the one who stopped you from leaving last time, Layla. I stay where I am as she brushes past me, but I watch as she crosses the foyer and heads toward the front door. She gets the top lock unbolted before she stops, pauses, and then backs away from the door. She turns around to face me, and I can tell Layla isn't the one looking back at me right now. It's Willow.
She's really upset,
Willow says. Her eyes are full of concern.
I think you need to tie her up again.
I nod and walk back up the stairs with Willow and into the bedroom. She sits down on the bed, and I notice a tear fall down her cheek as she lifts her hands up to me.
Don't feel bad, I say, even though I know she does. We both do.
I can't help it. I hate that we're doing this to her. She thinks you're evil and that she's going crazy.
I rewrap her hands before I tie them with a rope, hoping Willow will stay inside her long enough for Layla to fall asleep. Have you been downstairs with us this whole time? I ask her. Willow nods.
Yes, but he hasn't offered up any advice. No explanations.
I know, but he's getting there. I don't have much more to tell him, and then he could know exactly how to help you. It's why we have to keep Layla here until we're finished. We might need her. Willow is crying a little bit harder now. Her tears are different than Layla's. Layla cries out of anger and fear. Willow cries because she's sympathetic toward Layla. God, what a tangled web we've woven. I grab a tissue from beside the bed and wipe the tears from her cheeks. I tilt her face up. We're going to figure this out, I promise. Can you try to make Layla fall asleep? She nods. I lean forward and kiss her on top of the head. Then I go back downstairs. When I walk into the kitchen, I feel guilt, but it's also accompanied by a little bit more hope than it has been lately. This man has seen Layla. He's seen what Willow can do. None of it seemed to faze him, though, so that gives me a sense of optimism. If it didn't faze him, maybe he's seen things like this before. And if he's seen things like this before, maybe he really can help.
Is Willow making you do this? The man asks as I take a seat.
I'm not sure how to answer that. She doesn't want us to leave. She's made that clear, but I also haven't fought back very hard. I don't know. I think this is a mutual effort, unfortunately.
Why won't either of you let Layla leave?
I don't answer that, because the answer makes me feel like a monster. The man leans forward, tilting his head.
Are you in love with her?
Of course. She's only tied up because I want to keep an eye on her, but I can't do that if she leaves.
I wasn't talking about Layla.
My eyes fall to the table when I realize what he's insinuating. I can feel the heat in my chest spread to my neck, my cheeks. No, it's not like that.
Not like what?
It's not... I don't know. I care about Willow, but I'm in love with Layla.
But you've developed a relationship with Willow. Enough of one that you would put Layla at risk in order to help Willow.
I don't feel like Layla is at risk, I say.
You certainly aren't keeping her out of harm's way by forcing her to stay here.
But I'm also not doing it out of a lack of concern for her.
I'm getting agitated at his line of questioning.
Look, it doesn't matter why I'm choosing to keep Layla here. She's seen too much. That's a good enough reason alone.
I wave my hand toward him.
Ask me something else.
He rolls his eyes a little. All right. How often do you and Willow use Layla's body without her knowledge?
Not as much as we did at first.
How often did it happen in the beginning?
A lot.
Chapter 11. The way a person wakes up in the morning reveals a lot about the stage they're at in life. Before I met Layla, I was a hard wake. I'd hit the snooze button on my alarm 5 times if there was somewhere I was meant to be. And if there wasn't, I'd sleep until my body ached. Then I'd roll myself out of bed like a dead weight and drag my feet all the way to the shower. I lived life with very little that excited me. After I first met Layla, I was eager to wake up. My eyes would open and immediately search her out. If the alarm was set, I'd silence it at the first sound, fearful it would wake her, because I wanted to be the thing that woke her. I'd kiss her cheek or drag my fingers up her arm until she smiled. I wanted to see her before she saw me, but I also wanted to be what she woke up to. Today, I wake up in a similar yet entirely new way, my skin already buzzing with anticipation before I'm fully alert. My eyes pop open, and I immediately search out Layla, but not because I want to be the first thing that wakes her. I want the opposite. I want to slip out of our bed undetected so I can hide in the bathroom and rewatch footage from last night. I lock the bathroom door, turn on the shower to drown out the noise from my phone, and then I lean against the counter. I skip the footage back to the moment Willow walked into the kitchen and sat at the table. I rewatch my entire conversation with Willow just to make sure it actually happened and I didn't dream the whole thing. I didn't dream it at all.
I close my phone app and stare into the bathroom mirror. It's insane how 2 mornings ago, I woke up confident in my view of the world. But now that confidence has vanished and has been replaced by curiosity, fascination, and a new intense need to uncover everything else in this universe that I'm unaware of. Knowing there's more to this life than meets the eye makes everything around me feel insignificant. My career feels insignificant. My love for Layla feels like it matters less to the timeline of my life than it did 2 days ago. Most of the things that have ever caused me stress all seem so unimportant now that I know there's so much more out there than what I've led myself to believe. My own existence feels less important to me now. My priorities have shifted in the last 24 hours, yet I have no idea what my new priority is. It's been Layla for so long now, but even everything Layla and I have been through feels less traumatic when you consider the possibility that not only do other humans have it worse than we do, but other realms of existence have it worse than we do. I always tell Layla everything, but I'm still not sure I want to bring this up to her. But there's a part of me that believes Layla knowing the truth about this could somehow help her. If she knew for a fact that there were other planes of existence than the one we're currently in, maybe what happened to us would feel less significant. Maybe, in some warped way, this would be just as intriguing to her as it is to me, and it could possibly help with everything she's been struggling through. It has certainly freed me from the emptiness I've been feeling lately. I'm not sure what it is I'm filled with now, maybe just curiosity and a shit ton of questions, but it's been a while since I've woken up with this much enthusiasm for the day. I'm ready to speak to Willow again. I look around the bathroom, wondering if Willow isn't here right now. Does she watch us all the time? What does she do all night if she doesn't sleep? What is she doing right now? I have so many questions for her. I don't even want to waste time on a shower. I turn off the water and slip out of the bathroom. Layla is still asleep on her stomach. I leave her in bed and go down to the kitchen. I start a pot of coffee and look around the kitchen, wondering if she's here. We need a way to communicate when she's not using Layla. Are you in here? I ask. I say it quietly because I'm not sure it'll ever feel normal, talking to nothing. I don't get any type of response, so I repeat myself. Willow, are you here? I spin around when the water in the sink faucet begins to drip. I turn and observe the drips of water until they change into a steady flow, then a heavy stream. Then the water turns itself off completely. I realize fear should be coursing through me, but the only thing I feel right now is eagerness. I want to continue where we left off in our conversation last night. I look around the kitchen, wondering how we can do that. I have a phone in my hands. I can use my phone. Willow can use my laptop. I retrieve my laptop and sit at the kitchen table. I don't know if you know much about technology, I say out loud, but since I know you can type, we can use the Messenger app. I open it and point to the screen, assuming she's following along if she's in the room. I'll use my cell, you can use the laptop. I slide it to the left of me and then rest my elbows on the table, holding my phone in my hands. I'm staring at the keys on my laptop as they begin to depress, quickly, several letters in rapid succession. She types fast. That could be a clue as to what she did in her past life. A message appears on my phone. I'm very good with technology. I can't help but smile at the message. This is surreal. It is so much bigger than anything I've ever imagined would happen in the span of my lifetime. The idea of marriage, having kids, building a music career, it all seems like filler now. What if I have some sort of sixth sense? What if I'm supposed to do something with that? What if I'm meant to be something else besides a musician? The keys on my laptop are being pressed again. She's typing something else. I know things, like how to cook, how to use a computer, how to use a cell phone, but I have no idea how I know those things. I don't use my phone to respond to her. I just speak out loud since Layla is still asleep upstairs. I wonder if that could be a clue to how recently you died. I would assume if your death happened decades ago, you'd speak differently or act differently. You seem so sure that I used to be alive. What if I've just always been here? Maybe you have, and you've just picked up knowledge along the way. You say you watch television sometimes, right? Yes. There are things we could do to try and pinpoint a timeline.
Is that important to you, knowing if I was once alive? Is it not important to you? I don't know. Not really, I guess. Why would it matter? If you knew what your life was like, maybe you could figure out why you're stuck here. I don't necessarily feel stuck. But are you happy? No. I already told you what it's like here. You and Layla showing up is the most exciting thing to happen to me. What if I'm here to help you? Do you even want help figuring this out? That's pretty egocentric of you to assume I'm the one who needs the help. What if I'm here to help you? I stare at that comment for a moment, allowing it to get tangled up in all my other thoughts. I've never thought of it like that. I lean forward on the table, bringing my fingers to a point against my chin. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're both where we belong. But if that were the case, why would you be crossing into this world? You're the one who misses things I still have. Food, water, sleep. You're never satiated where you're at. Everything tangible is in this realm, and it seems like you miss those things, which means maybe you had them at some point in the past. My laptop slides several inches across the table until it's sitting directly in front of me. The sudden movement causes me to flinch. Why'd you let me sleep so late? Layla asks. My eyes dart up, and she's standing in the doorway to the kitchen, stretching her arms above her head. She yawns as she heads for the coffee pot. It's not that late, I say, slowly closing the lid to my laptop. Layla pours coffee into a mug. It's 11 o'clock. The deadliest time of day, I say teasingly. She eyes me curiously. It's what? She has both hands wrapped around her coffee mug now as she sips from it. I walk over to her and kiss her on the forehead. 11 in the morning, the deadliest time of day, I say, repeating one of the many facts she's told me. Her eyes squint in confusion. Weird. You think it would be nighttime? A blanket of guilt feels like it drapes over my shoulders. There are so many things I take for granted that Layla is still slowly recovering. The conversations we've had, the memories we've made, all the perfect moments we've spent together. It's like someone took a pair of craft scissors and cut slivers of her life out of her mind, leaving them in scraps on the table. I feel like I sometimes don't appreciate the severity of her injuries. I spent the last 6 months since it happened walking on eggshells, trying not to point out the obvious, not wanting her to feel like she's lost as much as she has. But what if indulging her desire to avoid talk of that night has inadvertently made it all worse? A brain injury has to be similar to a physical injury. You exercise a physical injury. You work harder to gain back all the strength you lost. I went through 3 months of physical therapy for the wound in my shoulder, but we did the exact opposite with Layla's injury. We didn't exercise her brain. We put it on bed rest. We've avoided the damage, put her wounds on respite in the hopes everything would heal on its own. But it hasn't. Physically, yes, but mentally, I'm not so sure. Were you on the phone just now? She asks. No, why? I thought I heard you talking when I was coming downstairs. I was, I say quickly, to myself, not on the phone. She buys my explanation and walks to the refrigerator and opens it. She stares at the shelves, but grabs nothing before closing the door. Want me to make you some breakfast? I ask her. She groans. I've gained 2 pounds this week. I'm not eating breakfast anymore. We're on vacation. You still have at least 8 more pounds left to gain before we can even consider this a successful trip. She smiles. You're sweet, but 8 more pounds on me would mean no more naked pool days. I wouldn't be able to look at myself. I walk over to her and pull her against me. I don't like hearing her talk like this. I don't like that something as simple as a little weight gain on vacation would even stress her out. I try to think back on a relationship. Recall anything I might have said that would make her think I care about her body more than I do her. I do tell her she's sexy a lot, but I mean that in a positive way. But maybe reinforcing my attraction to her looks is causing her to put more importance on her appearance than she should. I take her face in my hands. I love you, Layla. That love doesn't fluctuate with numbers on a scale. She smiles, but her smile doesn't reach her eyes. I know that, but I still want to be healthy. Skipping meals isn't being healthy. Neither are Pop-Tarts or Twinkies, but this kitchen is full of nothing but junk food. It's vacation, I say. That's what you do on vacation. You eat crap that's bad for you while being lazy and sleeping too late. I kiss her. You need to get in vacation mode before our vacation is over. She wraps her arms around my waist and presses her forehead against my shoulder.
You're right. I need to relax and enjoy this next week. She pulls back. You know what I can't say no to? Mexican food, specifically tacos.
Tacos sound good.
And margaritas. Where can we go around here to get tacos and margaritas?
I fill with hesitation when she suggests leaving the house. I do want to get her out of here, and I like that she seems excited about the idea of tacos, but I also have 50,000 questions left for Willow. I won't be able to ask her those questions if we leave and I'm driving and preoccupied with Layla. You sure you want to leave? It's at least 60 miles to the nearest restaurant. Layla nods emphatically.
Yes, I need out of this house.
She stands on her tiptoes and kisses me.
I'm going to go shower.
She walks out of the kitchen, and I head straight for my laptop and open it. Are you still here? I ask, hoping to get some kind of response. I stare at my laptop, but nothing happens. I wait patiently until I hear the shower running upstairs. I repeat my question. Willow, are you still here? The seconds are slow as they pass without action. But then the keys begin to press down, and I breathe a sigh of relief as she types something out.
Sorry, I'm here now. I left the room when Layla got down here. It feels weird watching the two of you without your permission, so I don't.
Where do you go when you leave the room?
I was in the grand room.
Do you ever go upstairs?
Sometimes. Not when you're both up there, though.
That's not entirely accurate. You were upstairs the night you slipped into her and got out of bed to look in the mirror.
I thought you were both asleep. I try not to spy on you when you're together. It feels wrong. But I have weaknesses, like when I smell the food you're eating.
But you spy on us when we're alone?
Spy is a strong term. I'm curious, lonely. So yes, sometimes I watch you live your lives. There's nothing else to do around here.
What will you do when we leave next week?
Sulk. Maybe try to beat my 8-day record of staring at the clock.
I don't laugh at her self-deprecating joke. The thought of her being completely alone makes me feel bad for her. It's weird, feeling sorry for a ghost, a spirit, whatever she is. I wonder what happened in my childhood that makes me take on so much guilt, even when I'm not responsible for whatever is wrong. I take on the weight of Layla's sorrows. Now I'm taking on the weight of Willow's. Maybe I should buy this house. I know Layla wouldn't want to live here full time, but we could come here for vacations. That way Willow wouldn't always be alone. We're leaving soon, but we'll be back this evening.
Where are you going?
I guess she really wasn't in here for Layla's and my conversation. I find it humorous that a ghost has morals in the same way humans do. She doesn't want to be intrusive, even though we wouldn't be aware of her presence. Layla wants tacos, and I'm sure she'll want to shop while we're in town. We'll be gone all afternoon.
Tacos sound so good.
Want me to bring you some?
It's a nice gesture, but I think you forget that I can't eat.
You could tonight, after Layla goes to sleep. There's a moment of stillness before she begins typing again.
You're okay with me using Layla again?
I shouldn't be okay with it, but it doesn't seem to be harming Layla in any way. If anything, she's getting some much-needed calories from it. Sure, tacos are important. You want beef or chicken?
Surprise me.
I close the laptop and head upstairs, skipping every other step. I'm looking forward to spending the day with Layla, but I think I'm looking more forward to talking to Willow again tonight. There's definitely some deceit going on here. I'm fully aware of that, but it's hard to know where to draw the line when the lines aren't even in the same world. Chapter 12. There were more options in Nebraska than anywhere within an hour of Lebanon, Kansas, so we crossed the state line and went to a city called Hastings. I was starving by the time we got there, but Layla wanted to shop first, so we went to a few boutiques before going to the restaurant. It was a smart choice on her part, because she had 4 margaritas with just 1 taco, so she was barely able to stand without assistance by the end of dinner. She wasn't too drunk not to question why I wanted to order tacos to go. I told her it was because she didn't eat enough at dinner, so I wanted to take food home in case she got hungry later. When I said that, she smiled and leaned across the table to kiss me, but knocked over one of her margarita glasses. It went crashing to the floor, and she was so embarrassed she was apologizing to everyone in the restaurant while they cleaned up her mess. She even apologized to the glass she broke. That's when I knew she'd exceeded her limit. It was only an hour's drive back, but Layla had to stop twice to pee because of all the margaritas. I kept talking to her in an attempt to keep her awake. It was still fairly early in the evening on our drive back to Lebanon, so I didn't want her sleeping in the car and then staying up late. I felt a twinge of guilt for that, being excited for her to go to sleep at the house so Willow could take over, but not guilty enough to stop myself from doing everything I could to keep her talking. We arrived back at the house right as the sun was setting. Layla wanted to sit outside and watch it, so that's what we're doing now. Sitting on the grass near the pecan tree, watching as the sun is swallowed up by the earth. It's a painfully slow process. I keep checking the time on my phone as if I have somewhere to be. I have nowhere to be, but I've never wanted Layla to want to go to sleep as much as I wish she would right now. But she's still drunk, still laughing at nothing and at everything. I have so many questions for Willow, and I just want to go inside, but Layla has other plans. She places her hand on my chest and pushes me onto my back as soon as the last sliver of sun disappears. She leans over me, dropping her hand to the button on my jeans, just as she lowers her mouth to mine. The sour taste of lime still lingers on her tongue. I kiss her back because that's what I'm supposed to want to do. I'm supposed to crave her, to want her tongue in my mouth, my hands on her body, to push myself inside her. But it's not what I want right now. All I feel right now is overwhelming impatience. I don't know how to separate my desires now. I came here so Layla and I could regain our footing, but I have a feeling our worlds are going to grow further apart the longer we stay here. I'm becoming too fascinated with the world we aren't in, and that's going to affect us, somehow. I don't know how yet, but I know what I'm doing is wrong. Allowing Willow to use Layla's body is a terrible form of deception. Yet, it's a deception I find myself justifying every time I start to question it. Layla's hand slips between my jeans and my stomach. I can feel her deflate when she grips me and finds that I'm not nearly as into this as she is right now. "You okay?" she asks. This normally doesn't happen. When she wants me, all she has to do is kiss me, and that's enough to make me hard. But right now, it's not enough. My mind is everywhere but here, and I can tell in her eyes that she feels it's somehow a reflection of how I feel about her. It's not. I'm just preoccupied. I bring my hand up to her cheek. "I'm good," I say, brushing my thumb over her mouth. "There's just a rock or something digging into my back." I roll her over so that I'm looking down at her now. "Maybe we can finish this later tonight, in our bed." She smiles. "Or right now, in our bed." She pushes me off her and then stands up. She's wobbly when she's on her feet, so I stand up and steady her. She brings a hand to her forehead. "Wow, I am so drunk." I help her back to the house, hoping she's too drunk to want to continue this upstairs. She doesn't forget, though. She starts kissing me as soon as we're inside the house. She tucks her hands into my jeans and tugs me toward the grand room.
"Let's just do it on the couch," she says.
I pause, wondering where Willow is right now. It feels weird, knowing she can see this. I don't want to fuck Layla in the grand room. I don't want to fuck Layla at all right now. It feels awkward knowing someone else is in this house with us. Layla is loud during sex when she thinks we're alone. And yes, technically we're alone, but we're not. Our vacation here isn't over, though, and I can't avoid having sex with her for the remainder of our trip. She'll know something is up. She'll take it personal. And the last thing I want is for her to start feeling like I made her feel in the airplane bathroom.
"Let's go upstairs,"
I say, pulling her away from the door to the grand room and toward the staircase. She pouts, but lets me take her hand. She holds onto the railing all the way up the stairs. I hold onto her because I don't want her to fall. When we get to the bedroom, I close the door, confident that Willow remained downstairs. Layla takes off her jeans and kicks them toward the bed. She pulls her shirt off but gets caught up in it and almost falls. I help her out of her shirt.
She's laughing when I toss it to the floor. That's when Layla gets my full attention. She's in a good mood. She's laughing. She's drunk and carefree in this moment. It's very rare that Layla lets loose like this anymore. I can count on one hand the times I've heard her giggle since her surgery. I like it. I miss it. Maybe this house and this vacation really are helping us. I kiss her this time, and I'm relieved when I do, because all the want is back inside me. I force Willow out of my mind and focus on Layla as much as I possibly can. She wrestles my shirt off me, and we're still standing next to the bed when I unfasten her bra. She presses her body against mine, and we kiss until I can feel her becoming unbalanced, her body leaning to the right. She gasps as I spin her around and bend her over the mattress. Her gasp is followed by a giggle, and my God, I love that sound so much. I don't even remove her panties. I just pull them aside and then shove myself into her like I'm afraid this feeling will pass if I don't rush it. She moans, and it's loud, and I don't want her to be loud tonight. I reach around and cover her mouth with my hand as I fuck her. All the noises she makes remain stifled against the palm of my hand. I don't make a single noise when I come. And then when I roll her onto her back and reach between her legs, I kiss her the whole time I'm touching her. Willow may be in the back of my mind, but that means she's still in my mind, and for whatever reason, I don't want her hearing this right now. When we're finished, I fall on top of her, breathing heavily. Layla is running her fingernails down my back, but my eyes are closed, my face pressed into the mattress. I should be satiated, but I'm full of impatience, even still. I want to go downstairs and talk to Willow. I think about that, how I brought Layla back to this place so I could focus on her, but that focus is beginning to blur. Layla has a right to know what's going on in this house around her. She's ignorant of Willow's presence, ignorant of Willow's use of her body at night, ignorant of my culpability in the situation. Yet I do nothing to change any of that. Layla shoves against my chest until I roll onto my back. She walks to the bathroom to clean herself up. I lie on my back and stare up at the ceiling, wondering how long it'll be before Layla goes to sleep. It's not very late. 4 margaritas would normally be enough to ensure she calls it an early night, but she slept until 11 this morning. I can hear the shower kick on in the bathroom, and I groan. Showers wake her up even more when she's drunk. It's like they breathe new life into her. She's probably going to emerge from the shower and ask to binge-watch an entire Netflix series in one go. It could be hours before she falls asleep now. I button my jeans and walk to the dresser. I study her prescription bottles, reading the names to see which one she normally takes to help her sleep. I open the lid to the Ambien, shake one into my hand, and then put the bottle back in the dresser. I go downstairs to make Layla a glass of wine. Wine mixed with margaritas will make her sleepier. The sleeping pill will exacerbate that. It's not like she doesn't take them on her own every night anyway. I'm just accelerating the process. I use the back of a spoon to crush the pill up on the counter. I scoop up the powder and mix it into the wine glass until it's completely dissolved. I turn to walk out of the kitchen, but I don't make it far. The glass is knocked from my grip and shatters against the kitchen floor, several feet away from me. I look at my empty hand, and then I look at the droplets of red wine as they stain the white cabinets on their descent to the floor. The wine is everywhere. I just stand still, completely shocked, instantly regretful. The glass was knocked out of my hand with enough force to send it across the kitchen, and there's only one explanation as to why that happened. Willow saw what I was doing, and it obviously upset her. The severity of what I was about to do finally catches up to me. I look up at the ceiling and drag my hands down my face. What was I thinking? I leave the kitchen and head back upstairs, embarrassed that Willow saw that. Embarrassed I would even consider slipping Layla her own medication so that she'd fall asleep faster. My desire to speak to Willow fades immediately and is now replaced by a heaping pile of shame. I open the bedroom door just as Layla walks out of the bathroom wrapped in a towel. She points at the floor near my feet. Toss me your t-shirt. She catches the shirt and pulls it over her head, dropping the towel in the process. The hem of it falls to the middle of her thighs, and I take in the fact that my clothes swallow her. She's petite and quite possibly underweight now that she barely eats, yet I was about to slip her a dosage of her sleeping medication, along with even more alcohol, not knowing how that might affect her. especially if she would have taken her usual nightly pill along with that. This is not who I am. I wrap my arms around Layla, pulling her against me, silently apologizing for something I'll never admit to almost doing. I close my eyes and press my face into her damp curls.
I love you. I love you too, she says, her words muffled against my skin.
I hold her like that for a long time, several minutes, as if it'll somehow absolve me of my guilt. It doesn't. It just makes it worse. Layla yawns against my chest and then pulls back.
I'm so tired, she says. I think I drank too much. I'm going to go to bed.
Me too, I say. She leaves my t-shirt on and crawls under the covers. I change out of my jeans, pulling on a pair of sweatpants. I normally sleep in boxers, but I don't know if Willow is going to show up tonight. I want to be prepared if she does. I wasn't tired when I lay down with her, and even though an hour has passed since we crawled into bed, I'm still not tired. I don't even close my eyes. I watch Layla sleep, waiting for Willow to take over, but she still hasn't. She could be upset with me, or maybe she has to wait until Layla is in a deeper sleep. I don't know. I don't know the rules. I don't know if there are rules. I want to explain my actions to Willow, but I can't do that if she doesn't slip into Layla, and I can't do that from up here because I need my laptop to communicate with her. I ease myself out of bed without waking Layla, and I head downstairs to the kitchen. I pause in the doorway, shocked by what I see, or by what I don't see, actually. There isn't a single trace left of what happened earlier. The spilled wine has been cleaned up, the shards of glass are gone. It's as if it never happened. I walk over to the trash can and lift the lid. Right on top of the trash are the bits of glass that were all over the floor an hour ago. Willow cleaned everything up while I was upstairs with Layla. I take a seat at the kitchen table, but I don't open my laptop. I open the security app on my phone first. I skip it back and watch as the wine glass is knocked out of my hands by nothing. I fast forward it, and approximately 10 minutes after I went upstairs earlier, the video shows the lid as it slides off the trash can. I watch in fascination as the kitchen is slowly cleaned by nothing. The wine stains disappear. The shards of glass move from the floor to the trash can. The lid eventually slides back over the top of the trash can, and all traces of the broken glass are gone. I close out the app and lay my phone face down on the table. I tried to stop understanding the world around me the day after we arrived here. Watching a tape of a ghost cleaning a kitchen doesn't even faze me at this point, at least in this element. I don't know what that says about me. I also don't know what it says about me that I almost slipped Layla medication without her knowledge. Maybe this house is messing with my head, unraveling the threads of my morals. I'm not even sure where to start the conversation with Willow. How to start the conversation. Do I apologize? I don't want Willow to think I'm the type of guy who would drug his girlfriend, but that's exactly what I was about to do before she prevented it from happening. Did she prevent it because she didn't like what I was doing or because she didn't want Layla's body to be too hard to wake up? I don't know if Willow's actions were selfless or selfish, but I'm not really in a position to judge, considering my actions were completely selfish. I hear our bedroom door open. My spine stiffens, and I immediately get out of my chair. I don't know if Layla or Willow is walking down the stairs right now, but I'll feel equally ashamed, no matter whose eyes I'm about to look into. I suddenly don't know how to act natural or what to do with my hands. I grip the counter behind me and lean against it, staring at the entryway. She walks around the corner. I can tell it's Willow immediately. She's pulled a pair of Layla's shorts on and is still wearing my t-shirt. I can tell it's Willow because of the way she's looking at me, as if I have a lot of explaining to do. I'm sorry, I say immediately. She holds up a hand and then pulls out a chair and sits down.
Not yet. She's really drunk. I need to sit down for a second.
She drops her head into her hands.
Can you pour me a glass of water?
I turn around and grab a glass from the cabinet. I fill it with ice and water and hand it to her, then take a seat at the table. She downs the glass and then sets it back on the table in front of her. She stares at the glass for a quiet moment, gripping it with both hands.
What was it?
What was what? I ask, needing clarification. She drags her eyes to my face.
What kind of pill did you put in her wine?
My jaw twitches. I lean back in my chair, folding my arms over my chest. Ambien, a sleeping pill. I've never done that before. I just really wanted her to go to sleep.
Why? So you could talk to me?
I nod.
That's dangerous, Leeds. She was drunk. And what if she would have taken another pill on top of what you were already giving her?
I lean forward, running a hand through my hair. I grip the back of my neck and blow out a breath. I know. I wasn't even thinking. It was like I was acting on impulse.
If your need to speak to me makes you act on impulse like that, I'm not sure it's such a good idea we do this anymore.
The thought of her putting an end to this makes my chest tighten. I have so many more questions. I would never do anything to intentionally hurt Layla. It won't happen again. Willow's eyes are searching mine for truth. She must accept whatever it is she sees because she nods and says,
"Good."
Then she leans forward, pressing a palm to her stomach as it rumbles.
Does she ever eat? Christ, she's always starving.
I stand up, remembering the tacos. I brought you tacos. I retrieve the to-go box from the refrigerator. I had them separate the condiments and the meat from the taco shells so they'd be easy to assemble and heat. She only ate one taco at the restaurant, but that's probably because she drank 4 margaritas. I heat up the food while Willow remains seated at the table. What do you want to drink?
Water is fine. I don't think her body can handle anything stronger than that right now.
I refill her water and then assemble the tacos. When I place them in front of her, her eyes are practically shimmering. She picks up one of the tacos and takes a bite.
Holy shit, she says with a mouthful. These are so good.
It's funny how small differences, like the way they eat food, are so noticeable between the two of them, even though it's the same body.
Did Layla ask why you were getting tacos to go?
I just told her she didn't eat enough. I tilt my head as I think more about Willow's question. You have her memories when you're inside of her, right? Can't you remember us being at dinner even though you weren't there? Willow grabs her napkin and wipes her mouth. She takes a sip of water.
I'm sure I could, but it takes too much effort for me to do that. Her thoughts are really cluttered. I try to stay out of her head when I'm inside of her.
How do you do that? Willow leans forward a little, lowering her voice as if someone might hear us.
It's like reading a book. How you can read an entire page before you realize you didn't process any of what you read because your thoughts were somewhere else entirely. That's how it is being in her head. If I want to, I can focus harder and intentionally take in all the information. But I'd rather just be distracted.
She picks up her glass and downs the rest of her water.
Her head isn't a fun place to be sometimes.
What do you mean by that? Willow shrugs.
I don't mean anything negative by it. We all have thoughts we'd never speak aloud. It's weird being able to see those thoughts, so I'd rather not look at them. I think about other things when I'm inside of her.
I want to ask her what some of Layla's unspeakable thoughts are, but I don't. I already feel like I've crossed one too many lines tonight with the Ambien. Not to mention the line I'm crossing right now, allowing Willow to use Layla's body so she can eat tacos. Tacos can excuse a lot of bad decisions, but I'm not sure they're worthy enough to excuse a possession.
Can we go swimming?
Willow asks. I'm caught off guard by her question. You want to go outside? I thought you didn't leave the house.
I never said that, she says. I said I've never left the property. The idea of it makes me nervous, but I've been wishing I could go swimming for as long as I can remember.
I'm not sure what I expected tonight, but I certainly didn't expect Willow to want to go swimming. But the water is heated, so why not? Sure, I say, amused by the turn of events. Let's go swimming. She's eaten 2 tacos and left one on the plate, but she pushes it away from her like she's full. I take the plate and dump the food in the trash. Layla has a couple of bathing suits upstairs. I set the plate on the counter, and then Willow follows me up to the bedroom. I open the 3rd dresser drawer and take out a pair of swim trunks for myself. Layla brought 2 bathing suits, and as much as we've swum, she hasn't worn either of them. Which one do you want, red or black?
I don't care,
Willow says. I hand her the black one. It's not as revealing as the red one. Not that it would matter. She doesn't have anything I haven't seen before or touched. But it does matter. She's not Layla, so it doesn't feel like her body is something I should look at in the same way I do when Willow isn't occupying it. Willow changes in the bathroom while I change in the bedroom. When she walks out, she's holding two towels. I can't help it when my eyes wander down her body, but it's hard not to be enthralled by the fact that it's not her body, yet she makes it her own somehow. Her strides are longer, her shoulders set farther back when she walks. She even holds her head differently. When my eyes meet hers, I immediately clear my throat and look away. Ready? I walk out the door, down the stairs, and all the way to the pool without making eye contact with her again. I jump into the deep end as soon as I reach the pool, needing the refreshing water to reset my focus. I stay under the water for a moment, long enough to see Willow's feet as she dips them into the water. Her legs dangle over the ledge in the deep end. I push myself up out of the water, and she's sitting near the spot where I sat when I spoke to Layla for the very first time. That was back when I thought the hardest part of life was playing bass in a slightly successful band I couldn't stand. So much has happened since then. I've changed as a person in more ways than one. That happens when you're forced to take another person's life. I don't allow myself to think about it a lot. I did what I had to do, but it still doesn't take away that guilt, no matter how justified it was. I sink back under the water, hating that my thoughts have gone back to that night. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about anything right now. I just want Willow to enjoy being able to feel water for the first time. I push myself off the bottom of the pool and break the surface. She's still sitting in the same spot, staring at the water surrounding her calves. "You getting in?" I ask her. She looks at me and nods.
"Yes, but I'm kind of scared. What if I can't swim?"
"Only one way to find out." I swim closer to her and reach out my hand. "Here, I'll help you." She hesitates before taking my hand. She slips slowly into the water and sinks down to her chin before she squeals and grabs hold of my shoulder with her other hand. She starts moving her feet to try and stay afloat, but she's too scared to let go of me. She's smiling, though, so I know she isn't scared. This is just new to her. She releases my shoulder and starts to move her arm, but she's still holding on to my hand. "You got it?" I ask. She nods, taking in accidental gulps of water as she barely keeps her head above the surface. She spits it back out and says,
"I think so."
She's breathless in a giddy way. It's like watching a child try to swim for the first time. I release her hand but stay near her. When she doesn't immediately sink, her eyes grow wide with excitement.
"I'm doing it," she says. "I'm swimming."
Her pride makes me laugh. She stretches her arms out in front of her and parts the water. Maybe swimming is a natural instinct, even for ghosts, but she pushes off the wall and dog paddles to the middle of the pool by herself. She spins and then swims back. She's already got the hang of it, which proves she's done this before. "It's like riding a bike," I say. She laughs.
"I wouldn't know. I've never done that either."
"You probably have. You just don't remember being alive." My words make her smile disappear. She stays in the same spot, moving her arms and legs to keep herself afloat.
"You really think I died?"
She asks me in a curious way, not an offended way. "If theories about ghosts are accurate, I feel like maybe you had a life before this. You just don't remember it." She watches me for a moment before swimming back to the ledge of the pool. She holds onto it.
"Do you think I'm a stereotypical ghost, stuck between death and an afterlife?"
"I'm not sure why else you would be here. What do you think?" I ask her.
"I don't know. I never really thought about it until you showed up here and started trying to figure me out."
"Do you wish I'd never showed up?" She doesn't answer that. Instead, she looks away from me and presses her hand back against the concrete ledge. She tilts her head back until she's staring up at the stars.
"I'm kind of scared to find out why I'm here. It's why I've never left this property to search for answers or to search for others like me. Because what if you're right? What if I'm stuck between life and death?"
Her eyes seek out mine again, but she looks scared when we make eye contact this time.
"What if I find answers and then it's over?"
"And then what's over?"
"This? Me? What if I find a way to leave this existence only to discover there's nothing after it? What if I just disappear forever?"
"Would that make you sad?" I ask. You talk like it's a miserable existence. She stares at me for several long seconds, then she says,
It used to be.
She lets herself sink below the surface as soon as she says that. Her response was heavier than I expected it to be. When she comes back up, she's closer to me. She regards my shoulder with curiosity, reaching out to touch it. She runs her finger over the scar from the wound I was left with 6 months ago.
Is this where you got shot?
Yes. It feels odd, her touching my scar. Layla has never touched it, not once. Every time we make love, she deliberately runs her hands around it, near it, but she never touches it. I've always wondered if it brings back bad memories for her, or if she's just scared it might hurt me if she touched it.
Who shot you?
Sable, the same girl who shot Layla. I lift her hand and bring it to the scar on Layla's head. Feel that? Willow touches Layla's scar with her fingertips, running her fingers back and forth over it. Then she brings her hand back to my shoulder and runs her finger over my scar.
Yours feels healed, hers doesn't.
She messes with hers a lot, I say.
Why?
I don't know. You're the one inside her head. You tell me. She stares at me for several seconds, and I think maybe it's because she's sifting through Layla's memories. I want to ask her what Layla remembers, but I don't want to use Willow to pry into Layla's mind without her permission. What we're doing with Layla's body is wrong enough. Willow swims back to the ledge and rests against it. She drops her chin to her arms and looks out over the backyard. I swim up next to her and do the same. I watch her, but she doesn't look at me. I'm not sure what she saw in Layla's head, or if she even saw anything at all, but her quietness stirs up an uneasiness inside me. She lays her cheek on her arm and looks at me.
She fell in love with you in this pool.
Did she? Willow nods, but the nod isn't accompanied by a smile or a look of fondness while she thinks back on it. She just whispers,
Yes,
and then turns away from me. She lays her opposite cheek on her arm and looks in the other direction. I swim around her, wanting to see that look on her face. When we make eye contact, her eyes are rimmed with tears.
What's wrong?
She laughs, embarrassed, and wipes at her eyes.
It's just confusing. I have her feelings when I'm inside of her. I guess she's sad right now.
How do you know the tears aren't yours? Willow regards me with a stoic expression.
I guess I don't.
She slips beneath the water, and when she comes back up, she wipes her burgeoning tears away along with the water. I feel conflicted. She's inside Layla's body, and if Layla is the one who is sad right now, I want to comfort her, pull her against me, and kiss away her pain. But she isn't Layla, so the need to comfort her and the knowledge that I can't leave me feeling empty. It feels a